Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Chase This Light podcast. Today's special guest is a gentleman by the name of Glenn with one N from Director's Edge. Glenn is a wedding filmmaker from the same suburb as me, actually, Moorabark, out in the outer eastern suburbs of Melbourne. I first met Glenn in 2016 and we formed a really great friendship since then, and we've shot a lot of weddings together, including a couple interstate weddings, and we even shot together in Las Vegas in August last year as well, which is a pretty bloody incredible experience. The thing I love about Glenn is just he is so unapologetically himself. He's just him. He loves hot chocolates with lots of marshmallows. He just has a really, really quirky personality and sense of humor. And every time I talk to the guy, I know that I'm going to be in stitches laughing at something that he says or does. He's a really good guy to be in the company of. And on top of that, he makes beautiful wedding films. I love watching his films, especially when I've photographed that same wedding he's done. It really excites me to tune in and see what he's put together. Enjoy this chat today with Glenn from Director's Edge. Thanks again, guys. Glenn with one N. Thanks for coming on today, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Well done. Hi.
Yeah. Cheers, mate. Cheers. I guess first of all, we'll kind of go into a little bit about like you and what makes you tick. It's kind of impossible to have a conversation right now in, you know, April the 9th, 2020, without talking about the fucking coronavirus. But we'll go into that a little bit. But I don't want the whole episode to just be about that. But first of all, man, give me the Glenn with one N elevator pitch. Give me the spiel. Just tell anyone who doesn't know you and is listening to the podcast, just tell us a little bit about you, dude.
So I'm a wedding filmmaker based here in Yarra Valley. I've been here all my life. And I've got a pretty sweet gig, I guess, you know, just filming, you know, lovely couples have a great day on their wedding day and just there, you know, obviously with my camera capturing everything. Pretty chilled. Pretty easy going. Like to have fun. Love my hot chockies and chocolates and gingerbread and anything sweet related. And a massive Harry Potter nut.
So, and how many marshmallows per hot chocky?
It needs at least three. but fortunately, my local sort of places that I went to pre-corona, they just know my order straight away. So I don't even have that awkward conversation with them anymore saying, you've only given me two marshmallows. What's the deal with that?
I love it, man. I love it. What year, if you remember off the top of your head, what year did you film your first wedding?
I sort of count it from uni. So I finished uni in 06. Straight after that, got into weddings. Straight after, working for another studio. So I guess, 2006.
Okay, so backtracking, unlike most of us photographers and videographers in the industry, you're an actual videographer. You actually studied filmmaking, is that correct?
Yeah, but this is back in the day where like filmmaking really wasn't a proper thing. We were still on tapes and that sort of thing. Like I was even filming on VHS tapes back in the day. It's old school. I guess half of what we do now sort of consider as filmmaking, you learn on the job in any case. But yes, I did spend 3 years studying film and TV, digital film and TV. So, I'm qualified.
And you have an actual degree?
I've got a Bachelor of Communications majoring in film, digital film and television production. I'm pretty fancy, I'm not going to lie. So
I like it. I like it. Because I feel like myself, like when I was at school, obviously, like I'm nearly 37 years old now, and I've been shooting weddings for about 10 years, but only seriously for about five. But I was always just my whole life. I was just always like, well, fucking, what do I want to do with my life? And it was always just like what do I want to do? And then in high school, you know, when you're with your careers counselor, and they're, what are you good at? What do you want to do? And I feel like that would be so different now. But when you were in high school, and if you had those meetings with your career counselor, you were like, I want to make films. Is that a thing that happened?
I think back in the day, as you'd call it, like last, it's still this millennium, but on the turn of the millennium for 2000, You have that sort of career counselling meeting with your person in year nine or whatever. And, yeah, I wanted to, I guess, be in the television industry. Not so much, you know, making movies or whatever, but more sort of like serialised, you know, story-based stuff. As corny as it is, probably work on something like Home and Away or Neighbours, or because I loved that sort of story approach. For me, in VCE, media didn't actually run in my school because, we didn't have enough student numbers.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, that's where I sort of took a turn and went for theatre. Just studied theatre instead and then, just went from there.
And then into filmmaking. So then after you finish your uni degree, I'm assuming you didn't go straight into weddings from the uni degree.
So
there was some kind of...
So literally, yes, it was literally that. So I had 3 years of uni. The last year was via correspondence, but we still needed to go in like once or twice a week into the city. Then went up to graduation the following year in New South Wales. And literally as soon as I got back, I got a job at another studio, which was literally like 3 minutes around the corner from my place.
Yep.
And they were doing like wedding videos back then. So yeah, literally I fell knee deep into obviously filming weddings straight away. That wasn't obviously the career intention, but you know, here I am now. God, what is it? 12, 13 years later and still doing this pig.
Yeah. So it was never like, it was never an intention. And I find that myself as well. Like I didn't like, and it's rare. I don't like, there's so little people that you speak to who work in weddings, particularly as photographers and filmmakers in weddings. There's not many of us who are like, that's all I wanted to do was shoot weddings. Like there's not many people who were just like, who ever planned to do that. Everyone kind of fell into it like in some way or another. So it came to you out of a degree and you just got a gig through a company who happened to be doing weddings at the time. And
that
was it.
I was employed for a few years with them. Before that, I was doing other filming. So I used to film for like the Eastern Footy League and I actually filmed some nightclub bands back in the day. And you can imagine with me, like obviously you know me, but like I've got like a face of probably like a 14-year-old and that sort of thing. So imagine me when I was like
fresh.
18 or whatever, how young I would have looked. filming nightclubs at like 2 a.m. in the morning. But like, yeah, that's how I sort of kickstarted. And then, weddings, I thought, okay, right, we'll give it 6 months. And then, here I am, still going. Yeah,
and at what point, like, I should also, to anyone listening and also to Glenn, a lot of these interviews today and moving forward, I'm really just throwing people just balls deep in with these questions and just throwing them on the spot. But you, Glenn, was there like a defining moment or like a defining, like something that happened where you were like, all right, like weddings is it? Like whether it was an emotional connection behind weddings or whether it was like purely like a financial thing, which is completely understandable because that's where a lot of people come into it as well. Like, thinking back to whenever that was, circa 2010 or whenever, you're like, all right, weddings is where it's at. Like talk me through that, man.
Are you saying the reason why I decided to stay in this profession? So that actually happened a few years later. I actually attended a workshop up in Sydney for a few videographers. My old boss actually recommended that I sort of attend this. It was all new and exciting. And once I sort of attended that sort of workshop, it sort of changed my perception on what wedding films could be.
Yep.
When I was working full time or like the early stages of my career, wedding videos were very chronological and they were boring. And it was like, okay, right, there's no change in wedding films, what they were now or what they were like 20 years ago. It was literally just film over the photographer's shoulder, capture everything, whatever happens, and deliver all that as it happens. There was no narrative, there was no creative or like storytelling. But after this workshop, that sort of inspired me of like, oh, okay. Right, maybe I can sort of entwine what I really loved about wanting to work in television or that sort of serialized story and sort of inbuild that in like a few wedding films. So
That's awesome. Awesome. And that workshop was a few years ago now.
Oh, yeah. So that would have been probably about 2010-ish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2010-ish. So, maybe a bit before that actually. But yeah, certainly after a few years of me working in the industry.
Yeah, so. And that was your first time at like really... really networking with other videographers and
Yeah, absolutely. Because before, I guess, you know, we were all very closed-minded and like, okay, right, we're doing things our way. We're not really paying attention to anyone else. Yeah. And no sharing secrets or exchanging ideas or that sort of thing. Not really that they were secrets. Probably everyone 10, 15 years ago was doing exactly the same thing without any of us realizing. Sure. But yeah, that really sort of just opened my eyes in terms of, okay, right, what could happen, and this community that sort of has been built since then. And yeah, learning off each other. And from that, I've been granted a lot of good opportunities from that so forth.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's so good. I love that. And I love that, like, that like, you know, that a workshop, like a networking thing, was like that moment that changed everything for you. Because everyone has their own moment that changes everything for you. And, you know, to me, I actually, like, there was like multiple things that changed everything for me in terms of photographing weddings. Like the big thing for me that I'll probably speak about a lot through this Chase This Light podcast is that the big thing for me was quitting my day job in 2015. And that was when everything changed. And that year I that was the first time I ever attended any other photography workshops. And that was where I got to meet people who were like on the same page as me and doing the same thing as me. I was like, shit. I was like, prior to that, I just thought every motherfucker was my competition. And then doing that, I was just like, oh, okay. Well, these people are just, we're actually all in this together and everyone's just trying to do something awesome. So I love that was like a pretty defining moment for
absolutely
you.
And as soon as I sort of woke up as well and realized that obviously we're not all competition, we're all in the same industry, yes, but we can use that to our advantage, that sort of really sort of helped change my outlook on things as well.
Do you remember where you and I first met?
Yes, I do. I was in Portland, back in Oregon in the States. So what a wild time, and that's wild with a Y.
It is. That means it's extra wild when it's got a Y.
It's an extra Y. So I was really fortunate. Yeah, I was working in the States for 4 months capturing weddings for another studio. And I got that job literally off Facebook and, like, yeah, getting referrals off that. I was over there on my own, and then, you know, it just sort of popped up, or our friends were sort of like connected in some way. I think I was actually Facebook friends with Callie at that point. Because I did a styled shoot with her maybe a year or 2 years before that. Yes. And that sort of thing for another makeup artist. And yeah, just decided to hit you up. And yeah, here we are ever since. Some bar at downtown Portland. You introduced me to alcohol, which was...
IPAs.
Yes. I can't really remember the rest of that night, but July.
That's what happens when you get on the IPAs. You know, I love that. For those of you playing at home, Glenn and I are actually currently chatting via Zoom, but we grew up and we live in the same suburb. We're currently, the way the crow flies, about 3 kilometers from each other.
Yeah.
And have been there our whole lives. And was it 2017? Was that US trip?
I would have said 2016, 2017-ish. I would have said that.
It was 2016. Yep, I apologize. It was 2016.
Yeah, 2016. July 4 weekend.
I'm going to chat with you more about that. How you jagged that American gig and that. I remember my wife Kelly and I were overseas and we knew of you. And that's the funny thing about being overseas is that even if you're on a holiday, you're only somewhere for a short period of time. Is when you go overseas and you know of someone who's close to home, you like have this like instinct to catch up with people, even though like you're in America and they're talking the same language, and you're like. But I remember going, I think that Glenn guy who works in weddings is in Portland at the moment. We should shoot him a Facey message and see if he wants to have a beer. And that was kind of what happens. But it's super funny because, like, if you weren't in Portland at the time and you were just in Moorabbin like we are now, I wouldn't go, I think Glenn's in Moorabbin. Like, we should catch up at a local Moorabbin cafe. Do you know what I mean? It was the simple fact that we were, you know, 2,000 kilometers from home. Fucking well more than 2,000.
Yeah.
From home. And that kind of happened. But yeah, that's awesome. So 2016, you've been shooting weddings 6, 7, 8 years. Yeah. And all of a sudden you came across this crazy opportunity to be able to shoot weddings in the States, in the
yeah,
out of all the places in the States, the Pacific Northwest, which to me is the most beautiful part of America.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. So actually, and I'll give a shout out to Steve from Valiant Peak. He is the one who actually found that Facebook post and tagged me in
awesome.
It. So thanks for that, Steve-o. He's probably going to be listening to this a million times because he loves the sound of my voice. let's be honest. That's for the whole world to hear now. I found the Facebook post and then, he was looking for someone, from Australia to come over and film. I guess the studio that I was working for him, he was originally a Melbourne boy. And he wants to sort of give that sort of opportunity to people. So I basically found the link on Facebook. The studio ended up working for. Yeah, he was looking for an Australian to come across and, you know, live the high life for 3-4 months in Portland.
Why was was he specifically looking for an Australian? Because like he knew that we were kind of. Obviously, I found, you know, many people in America they just think Australians are just like. Kind of ridiculous and crazy, you know, because our personalities are so different to them. Do you feel that was the thing, or was there another reason behind that? Or?
I actually have never asked him that, like, you know, point blank, okay, why look for an Australian or that sort of thing. I know he used to live here and he's got family here.
Oh,
he used to be based in Melbourne, so maybe that's how he sort of started off. I know two other people in the industry who actually did the same position years before me as well.
Oh, sweet.
So, once I sort of found out that and all the stars aligned, I obviously jumped on that sort of opportunity. It was a big deal for me because I guess my first big stint overseas at that sort of point in my life, I'm like, well, what do I have to lose for this amazing opportunity?
So, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I know, like, anyone who works in weddings will be able to tell you, like, it only takes 6-12 months to see trends change in weddings. And we're talking about 2016 now.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring this up is I feel like America is often kind of further ahead than what we are in Australia with weddings. Did you know, from shooting weddings in summer in Australia in 2016 and then moving over to our winter, but America's summer in 2016, was there any like really obvious trends that you were like, whoa, shit, like this is so different the way Americans are doing this, like compared to the way Australians are doing this?
Well, at the time, all the American weddings that I did, and I did about 13, 14 over there, all the American ones, they were a lot shorter days for me, specifically as a videographer. I'm used to days here where it was typically 10, 11, 12 hours or whatever. We were done in 6-7. So it was more compact.
You weren't doing receptions in America?
We were still doing receptions and preps. I had a lot of first looks.
Yeah.
Every wedding over there actually had a first look. So the majority of portraits were done beforehand. And this was during summer as well. So it's not like it was like dark at 6 o'clock. All the weddings that I did over there were first looks. It was just a complete different way of approaching a day that I liked. And the fact that video seemed to have more of a right of way over there than photographers that I worked with actually as well.
Really? Okay.
So maybe they were more invested in the films. I'm not too sure, but we actually got to call the shots half the time.
So you felt like in American weddings, like photographers took a back seat a fair bit more
to some extent. Yeah. But I guess it really depended on like the couple and that sort of thing. I just found that I had more flexibility to be able to say, okay, right, with timings, this is what we'll be doing. Or like with speeches, this is where we will be doing speeches and at what time and that sort of thing as well. So we had more sort of reins and sort of control over how a day would sort of run for the couples. Because couples were invested, obviously, in getting a high quality video product. So any sort of golden nuggets we could sort of give them to make it the best film possible, they're obviously going to lap it all up.
Yep. Yeah, that's awesome, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's touch upon this a little bit briefly, but let's not let it take over the whole episode. But obviously it's April 2020, the start of April. And you know, as Australians, as a citizen of the world of the human race, we're dealing with this fucking coronavirus right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's affecting the wedding industry considerably. How do you feel like, first of all, obviously you've you know, like myself, you've had a lot of postponements in weddings.
Yeah.
So far. Just kind of talk me through that a little bit.
So this year was, I guess for everyone, meant to be like a big year for them. I think everyone had a massive plan. I need to sort of postpone 13 weddings, which is luckily they're all postponed. I haven't had one sort of cancellation. Yes, touch wood or
that's
whatever,
awesome.
Which that's great. Yeah. But yeah, it's just sort of like a kick in the guts at the moment because at the moment I'm meant to be, you know, over my head with like all this work that I need to complete and like, you know, traveling up and down to Echuca every other weekend and that sort of thing. But now we're just sitting down waiting to see when we can work again.
Yeah, absolutely. But on a positive note, you've had 13 out of 13 couples who have spoken with yourself, the photographer, the celebrant, the florist, the venue, the everyone who was supplying their wedding. They've chatted with all those suppliers.
Yep.
And they've locked in new dates with every one of those suppliers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, like
so
I'm,
good,
I'm fortunate that, you know, that sort of has happened for me. So, I guess, you know, having good people around you and a good team and that sort of thing, yeah, makes things a lot easier.
And you're feeling like roughly kind of 12 months, you reckon? Like most couples are kind of, couples who were getting married into March, April, they're kind of postponing another 12 months or kind of 9 to 12 months. Is that the general kind of vibe?
I've had two postponed for September this year, which I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, shit.
Hopefully by then we're at least back to working in some capacity.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
That's only getting me a little bit nervous at the moment. But I'm sort of one of like, okay, right, whatever will happen at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, I can't really control that. And it's just, keeping communication open and seeing what happens, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things like, you know, no one, like not one person in the world actually knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, it would be easier if they did, but
it'd be good to be like, all right, sweet, September 1, we're good to go.
September 1, I can still go overseas, it's all good.
Yeah.
But like now, like even the travel agent, he's like, oh, well, we don't even know if you can travel early next year.
Yeah, so you were one of the, you know, you were one of the suppliers. I have lots of friends who photograph and film weddings and work in weddings who get to shoot overseas. Oh,
yeah. I had two Italy weddings booked for this year.
Yeah.
Both within a week of each other in September. And then flew back, was going to fly back and work with you the next day. Obviously.
And out of all places to be going, like Italy, like. Oh,
Italy.
Man.
And I was going to go through. But anyway, it's the roll of the dice. It's like, I can't sort of control that. So it's unfortunate, but like, who knows what will happen next year now.
Yeah, sure. And to kind of move forward from that, do you, you know, like no one can predict the future and, you know, no one has a glass ball, but do you, just your thoughts right now, you know, as of the 9th of April, 2020, do you see weddings changing or do you see the way that people feel and react to weddings and party at weddings and all that? Do you see that changing?
I think people
like in the future, what do you reckon?
I think people's perception on weddings will change dramatically once they sort of kick off again and everyone will just really appreciate what they've got and who they've got around them come the time of the wedding.
Yeah.
So for a lot of couples, obviously, you know, as you would as well, you know, first few postponements happened for weddings that were going to happen in March, I think, and for them now to have to delay their wedding, you know, almost like a year later, or I think it's just going to be extra special by the time that it gets to their wedding and for them to actually have their day. And
yeah, I love that.
And like, I don't want to sort of like talk selfishly or anything, but even just from a creative filming perspective, how amazing that will be to actually capture that everyone there, like this could be one of the weddings that like, you know, you don't even need to have an unplugged wedding sign because like no one will want to be living through their phones. They've been living through their phones for the past however many months. They're just going to be sitting there living in that moment and just affixed to the couple and the happiness and hugging and things. So I think that, when it actually happens, whenever it is, whether it's September or whatever, I think we're going to be really fortunate to obviously capture all that. And, I think that's how it will change. People's priorities will change a lot, I feel.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with that more. And you articulated that better than how I I haven't said it. And that, that's awesome. I agree so much. Yeah, like the whole the celebrant. It's an unplugged ceremony, and the fucking sign and the at the front of the thing about an unplugged ceremony. Like it's not even going to need to be a thing.
Yeah, anymore. And I guess it's even like in turn, it could even be part of the glitz and glam thing. Like, you know, a lot of people may have that. They may have had a vision for, like, you know, this big grand affair for their wedding day and that sort of thing, with 17 pigeons flying out from the moment saying I do and butterfly releases and that sort of thing. But to actually, once things start back up again, just to actually really value what's important for them, you know that those wedding days will be absolutely smashing.
That's awesome. I love that positive outlook. And I feel so many people who work in weddings have that positive outlook as well. And we're all, I speak on behalf of you and me and anyone I know in weddings that man, we are looking forward to like how amazing this is going to look on the other side. Like it's going to look different. We don't know exactly how different it's going to look, but it's going to be pretty damn cool. So you shoot, moving on from that, you shoot weddings films for a living. That's what you do. You shoot wedding films.
Yep.
Do you seek inspiration outside of wedding films to inspire your own wedding films? Like in regards to like how like cinematic things could be. I mean, I'm not a filmmaker, but I feel like watching this show at the moment called Better Call Saul, which is the prequel to Breaking Bad.
I couldn't get into that.
And it's funny and it's violent, but like the episode this week was just so cinematic. The landscapes and the scenes, and like I watch shows like that or films like that, and like it makes me want to take photos. I was like, shit, I want to get out there and like it's so weird, like this correlation between Better Call Saul and shooting weddings. You're like, shit, man, where's this coming from? But for you, what kind of inspiration outside of weddings? Do you feel like you feed into your wedding films?
I feel because I guess most of my films are very narrative and story based. So it relies heavily on, I guess, the audio from the speeches and the ceremony and crafty story about that. I get inspo from, like, I guess, movies and shows that I watched who that really sort of reflect that. I don't know how manly this is, but I'll admit this. Like, one of the things that I really do get inspiration from is Grey's Anatomy. Just in terms of Grey's Anatomy. Yeah, freaking hell. Yeah.
In terms of filmmaking or in terms of dialogue? Or
not so much in terms of dialogue, but like, and like, I'm sure like there's other shows, but that show for me particularly, you know, it was known for its like music and like correlating the music to the couple or to the story and how they use music to accentuate.
That's awesome.
You know, emotion or that sort of thing as well. So, and like the story points and that sort of thing. And when I watch a scene or I watch an episode or whatever of any show, whatever, even for Breaking Bad or that sort of thing or whatever, I see something and I like hear this music or the soundtrack and I'm like, far out. Yes, I want to do that. I want to make a story as great and as freaking amazing as that.
That's so awesome. So to you, music is highly, highly important in regards to a wedding film.
Absolutely. Music and audio for me are like two very big things. They sort of go hand in hand with each other. I used to play drums. I used to play piano and that sort of thing. So I've been brought up musically as well. My brother plays guitar and that. So I think, just hearing that and mirroring that to, I guess, the dialogue that's being said and to evoke emotion, that's really important for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And every film every wedding film that you create, you don't choose the music until you film the wedding and until you're editing the wedding, and then you actually choose the music for the wedding.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not something that's pre-chosen.
No. Yeah, and I've always got right away into the, like, I guess, you know, selecting the music because it's such a big thing and it's such an integral part to, like, I guess, telling a story and the film. Yeah, it's often once I sort of figure out the narrative or the sort of the drive for the film, that's when, you know, I play around with a few different ideas.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Or ask you if you want to include that. Yep.
I have chosen a few.
But like I know from your perspective, music's a big sort of part and influence in your life, so you totally get where I'm coming from.
That oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, I've said it in my intro episode to this Chasis Light podcast. I spoke about music as the soundtrack to your own life. And the reason, because there is still a few, and there's no right or wrong way, and we can get into the legalities and all that boring shit. But there is still wedding filmmakers out there who use commercial music, you know, like Ed Sheeran or Shania Twain or whatever in their
good
film.
On Shania. And,
You're still the one I love.
Yeah.
But obviously that's their prerogative. Like they want to do that. Like that's cool. But I love the idea, you know, my own wedding film that we received, for example, but I love watching, especially when I've shot a wedding with you or any videographers who I regularly work with, I love watching the wedding film and I love hearing a song that I've heard for the first time because it is a song from, what's the correct terminology for these songs? Are we saying a royalty-free song?
Well, it's licensed song. So it's a song that we've bought, you know, for the purpose of their wedding film and it supports the artist and you know that it's all done legally and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so, that's awesome. So the wedding filmmaker has paid good money for that song. The artist is getting paid money. They're making a living. And I just love that you can hear a wedding film and then that's the first time you hear that song. To anyone, like, unless they just stalk websites like MusicBed or anything like that, there's no chance that they've ever heard that song. And I love that because then that whole music is a soundtrack to your life. Anytime that they hear that song for the rest of their life or that song comes on, that just like it's instantly creating those memories for that song.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It's something that they haven't heard before and it may sort of, evoke new emotions to, you know, go forth and discover new artists. Yeah, music's incredibly important for me.
So I'm a bride or a groom or a bride and a bride or a groom and a groom and I'm looking at booking a photographer and a videographer.
Oh, yeah.
How important is it that those two can work together and why is that important?
It's probably one of the most important decisions that they'll need to sort of make and sort of understand because I guess as video and photographer people, we do work really closely and I guess not in a wrong way, but we work intimately with each other on the day and that sort of thing.
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
I've been there.
I know. Yeah, you've hugged me a few times. But like, you know, restraining orders coming. It is important because like, I guess you want a photo and video sort of team that sort of match in terms of like their style and approach and their ethos about the day. So then there's no sort of awkwardness.
Yeah.
Like for someone who wants my sort of films, which are very candid, relaxed and fluid, for me to work with a photographer who's very posed and structured and get 17 umbrellas out and prop, which, you know, like that's great and I can work with them. I'm just not going to be able to achieve the same film that I would normally because we're working with different constraints.
Yeah, yeah. Agree totally. Yeah. That's a great way of putting it. And I like, And it's super easy, you know, like on your About Me page on your website or your FAQ page on your website. It's really, really easy. The easiest thing to do in life is put a negative spin on something, as in to be like, oh, fuck that videographer. I don't want to work with him. But I love putting a positive spin on stuff. Like, the positive spin to that is I love working with videographers, especially the videographers who I know what their finished product is going to look like.
Absolutely.
So yourself, like I've shot like a dozen or more weddings with you now.
Yeah.
And plenty of other videographers I've shot weddings with. So I know when I'm standing next to you on a wedding day and we're shoulder to shoulder and we're talking shit with the couple and we're having fun with the couple, I already know in my head like how good your wedding film is going to look. So to me, that pushes me a little bit further because I'm like, shit, I know how good Glenn's film is going to be. So I'm like, shit, I've really got to step this up a notch today. And not only does that mean that we're having a good time, like photo, video and couple together, but it also means that I'm like pushing myself that little bit extra further to like just create something just fucking amazing at that time. And I think that's pretty bloody important too.
I think it comes down to trust as well. Like I think like, yeah, since we've worked with each other, if you know if I'm going in for a shot or whatever, you know it's not going to be crap or that. And like if we're, especially at sunset when we're racing against the clock because like sun's racing out, you as a photographer would probably be more sort of in tune of like, I guess, sharing the time rather than not knowing what the the videographer's just wasting your time, and vice versa for photographers I haven't worked with before, and that sort of thing. So that's why it's important to have like two people on the same wavelength.
Yeah, sunset's a great example of that. Like you can, you know, obviously you've got a huge ball of gas hitting the horizon, but you've also got this huge a huge personality of like a venue coordinator. Like we're serving main meals right now.
And yeah, we need to get the couple back to the bridal suite.
Yeah,
for their pre-dinner drinks.
Yeah, we're shit, man. We're trying to shoot sunset photos right now. And it's just like
we need you to finish that up now, please.
So we're like all trying to work against these elements. And I think when you do, like you often at sunset at some venues often, and it's nothing against the venue because I get it. Like the venue have a chef and they have 20 kitchen staff who are working, you know, they're trying to serve, you know, 150 plates of fucking roast beef and roast chicken.
Yeah.
And like there's a photographer and a videographer going, oh, the light's really good right now. And like we think that that's the most important thing, but the people at the venue are like, well, I don't care what the light's like. We're like dishing out of these things. So
yeah, because so they've got their own video, they need to hold up their end of the deal as well the food.
So everyone's just trying to do their thing, but I think when photo and video work together,
it's easier. Anytime that I work with a photographer that I haven't worked with, that I have worked with before, like you, like anyone else that, like, obviously we both know in Yarra Valley or anyone, I know, okay, right, I'm in for a good day and I don't need to sweat one bit, and the couple don't need to sweat, and I tell them that.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
When you deliver the your finished product.
Yep.
Are you selling/delivering just a highlights clip, or are you delivering warts and all, everything?
So 9 times out of 10, they're always getting that sort of highlight short film because that's what they've seen, that's what they like, and that's sort of what best sort of connects them to my work. So that short film could go for about 3 minutes or 7. It really sort of depends on the couple or the day. I don't sort of put like a time limit on it. It will go on for as long as it needs to, but I don't want there to be any sort of like fast forward moments. They get the full ceremony and all the speeches, however long they go for, 5 minutes, two hours.
And that's obviously separate to the highlights.
Yeah, so it's like 3 films. So it's like a ceremony film, a speeches film, and the short highlight film. Yep. And that's it.
And you deliver that these days, you just deliver that online?
Online. It's a way of the future. Get on it.
Yep.
I've just had so many.
I don't send USBs or discs out myself anymore. I also deliver everything online.
Outdated. Yeah. So yeah, just do it online and nice and easy. And then I create a little portal for them to view on my website, so it's still all branded and they still get that little sort of thing.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm toying at the moment with like doing some film premieres for some couples as well, which that was a big hit that I did. Just so they can get their film sooner and quicker, and whether they watch it now or in 20 years' time, it's still going to be exactly the same as what they paid for.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Tell me a little bit more about those film premieres. So you're talking, you have something set up specifically for that couple to come and view their wedding film for the first time. As opposed to you just smashing out it. Normally, outside of this film premiere, are you sending a Dropbox link, a Google Drive link?
Yeah, I send a Vimeo.
Or a link to your website.
Yeah,
sorry,
I send a custom link. And obviously that's with their film embedded like through Vimeo or something like that. I just felt, and maybe it's a bit selfish from my perspective, I used to do a lot of same-day edits. So for those who don't know, it's like the whole wedding film that we filmed, but it's edited and shown to the couple at the reception, like during the reception. Yep. And just to be part of that and see their reactions and hear all that. Because I guess for photo and for videographers and that sort of thing, when we deliver a product, we don't necessarily get those sort of first amazing reactions straight away or whatever.
We're not there to see it.
We're not there to see the smiles on their faces or like during a film. I don't get to see when they're laughing or crying or what makes them choke up or laugh out loud.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for a film premiere, I get them in to the office. I've got sort of like a little deal going on with them. Put it on a big projector screen, get like a couple of cocktails or an espresso martini or popcorn or that sort of thing.
Nice one.
Yeah, they can invite some of their bridal party or just the two of them and, just show off the film. Just make it a big deal because I guess everything nowadays is so digital and sort of cavalier. If you just send off an email and they may get it during the day at work and I think it's a really important time just to, for them both to sit there together with no other distractions and be taken back to that moment.
But that, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. And that's something you've just started doing the last couple of months.
Yeah, but pre-corona. So, yeah.
And are you making the espresso martinis yourself?
I don't think you'd want that. I don't think you'd want me to make that.
So you rent a space at the Sage Hotel in Ringwood.
Yeah, Sage Hotel
awesome,
in Ringwood.
Awesome hotel.
So yeah.
Basically halfway between the Yarra Valley and the city for those of you playing at home.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So couples are coming there and you've got a little film room set up.
Yeah. So I basically hijacked one of their big sort of conference rooms. We sort of dress it up and that sort of thing. And now I'm sort of working out like menu deals with them, so they want to sort of like stay on for dinner. Stay the night there and just like make it like a weekend away, you know, just to sort of reconnect. Because I guess I've chatted with a couple actually that I did it for, and they were sort of going through that sort of post-wedding slump that for all these months and months planning for everything. And they've just sort of come to that sort of thing of like, okay, right, we've had kids. Now what? It just gives them a chance to sort of reconnect. And it's like,
I love that. And probably only 4 minutes ago, you and I were saying, deliver digital. It's the way of the future to, delivering digital. And I'm guilty of that myself, you know, not out of laziness, but more out of just convenience, so just delivering digital. But, and you said that, but you're not actually, not every wedding you're delivering digital. You're, you know, again, pre-corona, you're like, all right, cool. Let's come to. I've got a cool workspace. I've got a cool place. I've got a projector.
Yeah.
I've got access to qualified bar staff who can make you an espresso martini. I've got a kitchen.
Yep.
Let's give you food.
I've got a kitchen. You can have the Glen special if you want.
Yeah.
So the possibilities are freaking endless.
What's the apart from the hot chocolate with 19 marshmallows? What's the Glen special?
That really differs on what time of the day you order it. Let me just say that. But like it's really depending on what time of the day you order it. But just hit me up and we can sort of experiment with everything.
I look forward to it. We'll keep the listeners in suspense as to what that special may. Or may not be, I love getting people in to experience that for the first time, and even if they just want to come in with just the two of them, just the couple, or with them when they bring their parents or a couple of friends, I reckon that's really, really awesome, man.
Yeah, it's not for everyone, but we'll see what happens. But for the couples who want it, a great idea.
It's been so good having you on board. I reckon we covered so much great stuff. If I'm looking for you online, if I'm looking for Glen with one N from Director's Edge, where can I find you on the interwebs?
Well, you should already be following me, but if you don't, at Director's Edge on Instagram, hit me up on everything else, on Facey, directorsedge.com.au. I'm all over it. So, I'm hard not to be found, let's be honest.
That's good, man. I like it. Yeah, thank you so much for being on this Chase This Light podcast today, Glen. And thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.